Does anybody here like gardening? I ran to Morris and Mary Lynn yesterday. Carrie and I were buying flowers, and Morris said to me, "Do you have a garden?" And I didn't respond. So he asked me a second time, "Do you have a garden?" And I said, "I don't know what that word means." "No, we do not have a garden. We have raspberries and flowers. That's all I'm willing to do these days." But if you're a gardener, you'll appreciate this. A person was writing things they had learned from gardening. Nothing ever looks like it does on the seed packet. Have you noticed that? Your lawn is always slightly bigger than your desire to mow it. Whichever garden tool you want is always at the back of the shed. The only way to ensure rain is to give your garden a good soaking. Weeds grow at precisely the rate that you pull them out. Autumn follows summer, winter follows autumn, drought follows planting. Evergreens go a funny shade of brown in the winter. The only way to guarantee some color all year round is to buy a garden gnome. However bare the lawn, grass will appear in the cracks between the patio paving stones. Annuals mean disappointment once a year. When weeding, the best way to make sure you are removing a weed and not a valuable plant is to pull on it. If it comes out of the ground easily, it was a valuable plant. Gardening is a gift of faith that the one who created the universe will help to nurture and grow as we also watch over and care for. Let's pray. God, we thank you for letting us be part of your world and creation. We can see a baby seed planted into the ground and it becomes the largest of trees. We see your creation and marvel at its beauty. Help us to love the things that you have made the way that you love them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is going to be Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 31. Ernie's going to put it up and you can follow as I go along. Did you ever try to make anything creative as a child? I can remember on the farm that at one time, mud pies were all the rage. Dirt, water, and a pie plate. You could make as many as you wanted. We also had a three or four inch stream that ran through right through the middle of our yard in the springtime. My brother and I used to take old pieces of wood and pound in a million nails. It never worked unless you used a million nails. Fitting the wood together to make boats, and we'd float it down our river. It was wonderful to be able to make things with our own hands. I'm sure many of our creations either came from copying our older siblings or from books. I wonder what it must have been like for God to create with just the spoken word. The God of the universe begins by creating the heavens and the earth. Initially, all was formless, and God created light, and so there was morning and night. On the second day, the Lord created the sky and separated the water from below and above. On the third day, he separated the water from the earth so there would be dry land. And then he called all the vegetation into being, from all plants to fruit trees. I wonder if God had it all charted out right from the beginning, what he was going to make, what it was going to look like, sketching pictures, imagining plant life, giving the vibrant colors. Lord God speaks the word and lilies, roses, plum trees, grapes, carnations, violets all come into being. What's your favorite flower? What's your favorite vegetable? What's your favorite fruit? I know what you're thinking. Anything dipped in chocolate. God made it all for our pleasure. It's truly incredible. Today, when you create things such as a meal or a story or a business plan or a new invention that the world's just waiting for, I wonder how such things are formulated in our minds. I wonder how many original thoughts we have. All the wonderful things that we've come up with have already been dreamed up by God, who knows us and loves us. As we read of God's intention in creation, it also gives us a picture of his character and design. It reflects how the Lord feels about his creation and ultimately about his relationship with us. In Genesis 1:14, God says, "Let there be lights in the sky to separate the night from the day." Not only did these lights make it easier to see, but they also developed the structure of seasons, days, and years. So the framework that we live out day to day of morning and night, of seasons, of winter, of spring, of summer and fall, and the concept of years was created and established right here. This was put into place with the sun and the rotation of the planets. My grandsons would love to hear all about this. Bring them in from Sunday school. They love planets. In verse 16, it says, "The greater light to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night and the stars." It appears that the boss of the day is the sun, and the moon is the boss of the night, and the stars are subordinate to the moon and help light up the evening sky. Unfortunately, as it mentions in Romans chapter 1 in the New Testament, that people often move away from worshiping the Creator to worshiping the creation. Some peoples worship the sun and the moon as all-powerful deities, when in fact God gave them to us as a light. What beauty there is in a starlit night, or when the northern lights splash their colors of splendor across the sky, created by God for our benefit and revealing his glory. Verse 17, "God set these lights in the sky to light up the earth, to rule over the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness." Once again, speaking of the two light sources, the sun and the moon. Then in verse 18, ends with God saying, "And it was good." And then there was evening and morning, the fourth day. Verses 20, 21, God said, "Let the water bring forth living creatures." So God created the sea monsters and everything that moved about. At the same time, he created every flying bird and anything that could fly, like insects. Don't you wonder about those bottom-feeding fish that are in the darkest part of the ocean, thousands of feet down? Why did God create them when it's almost impossible for us to even see them? I think in part they play a role in the ecosystem. Also, as humans, we seem to think we know it all, and then we come across something and we're surprised. Verse 21 ends with God saying, "And it was good." Verse 22, it says, "God blessed the fish and the birds and commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. The blessing of the Lord rests on them to procreate and flourish in their kind." There was evening and morning, and then the fifth day. And then in verse 24 and 25, the Lord said, "Let the earth bring forth every kind of living creature, from cattle to wild animals to things that crawl on the ground to small animals." I have to say, I'm not sure how valuable a snake is, but they do eat mice. And I'm not really crazy about mosquitoes, but they do feed the fish, dragonflies, and bats. And once again, God says in verse 25, "It was good." And then the masterpiece of creation, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the cattle, and every creature upon the earth." In our culture, we often try to duplicate the original by making copies or knockoffs that are cheaper and can appear like the authentic, like counterfeit money, purses, shoes, watches, and on and on. But when God makes humanity, women and men, in all of his glory, he makes them in his own image, in his own likeness. None of the rest of the creation was made in his image. In essence, we have the markings of the king's children, sons and daughters of God, made in God's image. It was not so much in physical appearance, but things like reason. No other part of creation is able to think things through, making decisions like we can. Our conscience, our self-awareness, and our spiritual discernment, which separate us from the kingdom of animals and plants. Attributes which be attributes like God has: love, truth, wisdom, holiness, justice, the capacity for spiritual fellowship with him. Genesis 6:9, it says this: "If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands. For God made human beings in his own image." Why are we commanded not to murder? Because others are made in the image of God just like we are. It is God who gives life and sustains it. It is not our responsibility or privilege to take another's life. The whole area of loss of life in war is a different topic that is mentioned in Scripture, but not our focus today. The end of verse 27, it says, "And God made them male and female." They are equally made in the image of God. And then in verse 28, God blesses them and commands them to be fruitful and multiply. Have daughters and sons and fill the earth. To have children was meant to be a good thing. Let me say that again for parents of small children. To have children was meant to be a good thing. Subdue and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. This blessing is also have dominion over, to subdue the earth and the plants and the animals within. With the animal kingdom, the idea of domesticating or taming. All that has been created is under the authority of God. Everything the Lord has made has been good, and so his care over the created world is with his loving care. In these verses, God has given some of his authority over the created world to humanity, to you and to me. We have the responsibility to treat the created world with dignity, respect, and integrity. We've been privileged to serve over, not to dominate. We learn to become a resourceful people instead of a wasteful people. We want things to be healthy and to replenish what we've used. We want to be the best caretakers our world has ever seen. And with this comes a blessing. Verse 29. I've given you every plant yielding seed, every tree with seed and fruit for food. Verse 30. God provides all the food the animals need too. Verse 31, God saw that everything he made was indeed good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. God makes great stuff, and we're part of his creation. We need to pay more attention to the value that God gives us, made in his image, and less about what the world attempts to value or devalue. Paul Harvey, you may have heard of him, he once told a story about a group of scientists who were determined to teach a chimpanzee to write. For 14 years, the scientists labored diligently and patiently with the chimpanzee, providing things in its cage to enable it to form syllables. Finally, a day arrived when it seemed like the chimpanzee was actually going to construct a sentence, forming the symbols it had learned. Word went out and other scientists crowded into the room and they gathered around the cage. The scientists could hardly contain themselves as they pressed around the cage to read the history-making sentence. And this is what the chimpanzee wrote. Let me out! Often we wonder about what the will of God is in our lives, our families, for our church community. One of the things that seems quite clear in Scripture is that we should care about the things that God cares about. God has created each of us with a purpose, a meaning, a mission for life. We are not a random blob that showed up one day and left another, with little to no significant impact. Throughout history, the world's cultures have swung the pendulum from humans descending from monkeys to the contrast where we've become self-sufficient, that we pretend that we are gods and we replace the God of the universe and no longer have any need for him in our lives. Often, we don't receive or comprehend the love that Jesus has for us, so we don't honor our own lives or that of our neighbors. No one should be told to get lost. That is mean, unkind, and disrespectful. We're better than that. We've been made in the image of God. And so we have both the privilege and responsibility of honoring ourselves and honoring our neighbors. If we don't feel loved, it's almost impossible to love the way that we need to. We don't need to stay in this position. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. If we need a reminder how much he loves us, He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die, to take away our sins and wrongdoing forever and ever, so we can be in an open and honest relationship with him. Invite God to take control of your life and trust him to guide you in your decision making. Three times in this text, when God creates, it says, God saw that it was good. Verse 18, 21, and 25. But when he makes Adam and Eve, God says in verse 31, it was very good. When each of us were born and came into this world, God thought it was very good too. When Jesus comes into our lives, we naturally produce the fruit of the Spirit, like love, kindness, patience, self-control. When was the last time you heard someone say they had the gift of self-control, or they had too much self-control? If we stop using all of our energy and trying to make a way for ourselves, and we start living the way that we were created to, by loving God and loving the things he has made, what a difference we would have. When someone is mean and cruel to animals, it speaks a lot about the person's character or lack thereof. Proverbs 12:10 says, the godly care for their animals, but the wicked are always cruel. We should be caring and compassionate, first to our fellow human being, no matter what their race, color, resources, or nationality. But also we should watch out for and champion the cause of the creation that God has placed us over to care for. We're to be like gardeners, making sure the plants, the animals, and the environment are treasured because they reflect the one who made them. And this is no other than the one true God. What can we do this week to honor those we work with, go to school with, that are in our neighborhood, affirming that they've been made in the image of God? What can we do to protect and give care to the animal kingdom, to the environment, and the created world in which we've been given authority over? Let's pray. God, thank you for the trust that you've placed us in to oversee your created world. What we ask for today is wisdom to know how to handle the treasures that you have given us. We want to honor you by honoring your creation. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I think it would have been so amazing to have watched creation happen. Not that we could have, we weren't created yet, but just boom, there's this, boom, there's that. Wow, incredible. If you're comfortable, please stand and we'll sing another song.
Water than sky. go under the sign of the cross, knowing that God has made good things. And when he made you, he said, very good things. Go out and treasure this world, this creation, and the other ones that have been made in his image. Amen. Amen.
Please stand as we close our service together.
Just turn.